Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Thanks for coming back to my channel, George from Ireland. And I'm commenting on the election result in Japan, which just came in yesterday, as the Prime Minister, Takaichi, if I pronounce it correctly, she led her Liberal Democrat Party to a resounding victory. Now, it was widely forecast, but perhaps she won by a greater margin than most people saw. So this was not unexpected. It's been very good for the stock market, for the value of the Japanese yen. So the Liberal Democrat Party, they're the ones founded right after the Second World War. And since Japan regained self-government, they've ruled something like 70 out of the last 80 years. Really state dominant party. There was that ultra-nationalist party. It was a small like socialist party, and that was about it. Now she is the first woman to hold that office of prime minister, Sanae Takaichi, and she comes from a very political family. So her party won 316 seats out of 465 in the Diet, as in that is the lower chamber of parliament. So anyway, that is two-thirds. So the party hasn't won such a majority since before the Second World War, and the Diet didn't really exist in this current shape. So it's only 1947 when democracy started to be established. They did have some sort of limited parliamentary government before that, before the Second World War. Obviously, women weren't allowed to vote, but really the army used to intervene, the Black Dragon Society, these ultra-nationalist army officers would just order the prime minister or finance minister what to do. And if he didn't do what they wanted, they'd just show up at his house and shoot him. But things have changed since then. But the LDP also had a coalition partner called the Japan Innovation Party. They won 36 seats, so giving them a very healthy majority. So Ms. Takaichi, she became prime minister just a few months ago, and then she called this a snap election because she saw that her personal approval rating was very high. Her party was riding high in the polls. This is a honeymoon. Let's cash it in now. It's only going to leech away. Okay, but this is the easy part over. And the opposition was in disarray. They didn't have any convincing answers. But there's sort of a feel-good factor about her. So she just resonates optimism and energy. And she openly likens herself to Margaret Thatcher, who was Prime Minister of the United Kingdom 1979 to 1990, a transformative Prime Minister who wrought some harm, who caused mass unemployment in some areas of the United Kingdom, in Northern Ireland, in Scotland, in Wales, in Northern England. But, you know, got inflation down, a very mixed record. So the Nikkei 225 index of shares, that has jumped 5%. That's a very good sign. It's over 57,000 now, the highest ever. Okay, so she says you're going to be pro-business. But what are they going to do? The cost of living is rising. Economic growth has been sluggish. I remember as a child, my French teacher saying, who lost the war is Germany and Japan. Who's won the peace is Germany and Japan economically. Of course, it was West Germany in those days. But since the mid-90s, their economy has really slowed down, been growing like 1% a year if they're lucky. And how can they lift themselves out of this? Partly such a highly developed economy, you can't grow that much faster. It's very much a services-dominated economy, plus they're a graying population, one of the highest life expectancies in the world. It's a very, very safe country. There's almost no crime. That partly explains it. They're partly into the environment, quite clean air, almost no smoking, almost no alcohol, very healthy diet and not too much. Food either, very fish-based, good for the brain and everything else. So that's why they live so long. But there's this the time bomb. How are you going to pay for all these pensioners? Raise the pension age. That's unpopular. So that would be the political third rail if you advocate for that. But it is the only solution. And they need a consensus that all the parties say, this is it, we're going to have to do it. And the one thing is they don't want immigration. So they've got this sub-replacement fertility rate at like 1.3 fertility rate. Now, other Western countries are going that way. So what do you do? Western countries, the answer is immigration, people from abroad to do these jobs, to pay to the pension system, and the whole thing is viable. But Japan is really, really anti-immigration. So 99% of people in Japan are ethnically Japanese. And indeed, there's this sort of Korean community there. Some of them have been there since the late 19th century. There are Korean children, fifth generation, born in Japan. They have never been to Korea. They cannot speak Korean, only Japanese, and they cannot get Japanese citizenship. And that's the only solution. Now, I'm not saying that all Japanese people are racist, certainly not, but a few are. And that Japanese citizenship, they just will not allow people to naturalize. If you're mixed ethnicity, the people who are partly white, partly Japanese, they can be Japanese citizens. I suppose if you're half ethnically Korean and half ethnically Japanese, you could be a Japanese citizen, and so on. So what are you going to do to stimulate growth? Okay, so Takaichi said that she will have a good fiscal policy. They're going to cut spending in certain areas. She's not going to be playing musical chairs with the cabinet. She's only been in office for 4 months. That's it. So her party had a majority and lost to other people's prime ministers. It turns out that was too much bribe taking. They can't get the cost of living down and stuff like that. They're worried about the growing threat of Japan, of China building those islands in the South Pacific, these artificial islands threat in the Philippines in particular. Japan, will they finally bite the bullet, really apologize to other East Asian countries, pay compensation, have a good relationship with the Republic of Korea, and maybe not go to Yakosuni Shrine to do homage to the war dead, some of whom are Class A war criminals, but many of whom are not, are ordinary soldiers and so on. And I asked a Japanese professor, you've got the best relations with which other East Asian countries? And she said, Taiwan. Taiwan, or the Republic of China, which obviously split away from China in 1949, still hasn't formally declared independence. But they decided to let bygones be bygones, the Sino-Japanese War, and look to the future against their common enemy, the People's Republic of China. Obviously, the Japanese worried about North Korea with its nuclear missiles that they can fire over Japan and so on. Are the Japanese going to get nukes? Would the USA really defend them? There was Obama's Asian pivot to the East about 10 years ago. He was going to try and protect them, but no, that's not happening anymore. With the US, would Trump, he doesn't care about Europe. Does he care about Asia? Maybe not. I mean, China's got its own travails, but is China going to invade Taiwan? Would that weaken Japan's situation? Would Japan be the next target? So what do? Would you fight for Taiwan or not? Would you sell them arms or not? Japan is still a wealthy country. You've got to remember, the end of the Second World War, yes, they'd had an excellent arms industry, but apart from that, they were a typical East Asian country, not wealthy at all. Most people living in just little wooden houses, almost no cars. You were lucky if you had a bicycle because all the money went into the military. But this sense of discipline and mission, this single-mindedness, they put that into economic development, and they had this extraordinarily rapid growth. Anyway, so she says there'll be some sort of stimulus package, there'll be tax reform, there'll be deregulation, and so that's why people think it's going to be a bull market. Okay, so Japanese stock investors are pleased. Anyway, but there are some sort of long-term problems, and she doesn't really have convincing answers enough to those. At least inflation is quite low. Goodness. So the aging population, one thing is to simply allow immigration. They have allowed people to come and work there, but not live there permanently. People from Nepal, Bangladesh, the Philippines, whatever, in various service jobs as shop assistants, as cleaners, as carers, or whatever, and occasionally in white-collar jobs as well. She's not biting the bullet of raising the retirement age, because I suppose she really thinks that'd be political suicide to do so. Goodness. So Japan's got this pacifist constitution. They've got armed forces. They call them self-defense forces, not to fight. Would they arm Ukraine? If you're not willing to sell weapons, then you could at least send them money, send them humanitarian aid. They do some of that because, if Russia wins, that's good for North Korea, which is Russia's ally, which strengthens, which means they're more likely to attack Japan, and they think the Second World War isn't really over, and so on. Goodness. So they hosted President Trump last year, and then President Takaichi had just ta sorry, Prime Minister Takaichi had just taken over. So they obviously want to maintain cordial relations with the United States, get their help if they need it, and the Prime Minister, she's due to visit Washington, D.C. next month. So Japan, although a highly developed country, until quite recently, men were definitely in charge. And I know we're often complaining in the Western countries, oh, only sort of 20% of women are CEOs of women. In Japan, it would be more like 2%. I mean, so it is rising, but attitudinally, it's a bit behind. Right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then in PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.